This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So the University of Vanderbilt, and I have a couple of notes, so I want to make sure I get these right. The University of Vanderbilt a couple of years ago did a study, and they found that people who attend church or synagogue or mosque, essentially a religious community that they attended on a regular basis, were less stressed, had less anxiety, and lived longer. Pew Research as well found that regular worship services help boost positive emotions. Studies show that it's good for mental health, that 36% of people who attend church regularly say that they are very happy in their life. 36 compared to 25% of inactive members, those who are members but don't necessarily attend regularly, and 25% of those who don't affiliate with a religious organization. The Mayo Clinic also says that most studies have shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes, including greater longevity, better coping skills, and better health-related quality of life, even in terminal illness. So what does all this have to say about the church, and particularly in reflection of our readings today? Today, when Jesus mentions the church, it's only one of a few times that this word ever comes up in the gospel readings. This idea of church, this idea of a collection of people who have chosen to follow this man named Jesus. And he's outlining how one should live with each other. Now, what I would argue is that the church itself offers many different things that other organizations don't. So, for instance, if you belong to a book club, chances are you enjoy reading. And so when you meet with that club and enjoy the reading of the book that you shared, and sometimes, and I've been part of book clubs, and I remember there was one book and none of us liked it, and we all felt bad for the person who recommended it because it was her favorite. But regardless, there's a common interest. Right? When we go online and look for meetups, someone to go paddleboarding with, or someone to bike with, or someone to walk with, or learn a new language with, these are all things that bring people together with a common interest. Now, many of you may have belonged to organizations before or currently do, but I say the difference between a church, and I think this is what Jesus is trying to address today, is that you don't get to decide in church who else is there. In church, you don't get to decide who sits in the pews with you, who worships with you. In church, you don't get to decide which people you would like to have proximity to. And that, my friends, is where we grow. So much of life, particularly now, with social media, and I know you've all heard the studies, well, maybe not everybody, but I know there are many of you who have heard the studies that more and more we as a country, as a world, as an earth, become more and more divided, because when we go on social media, when we find these other outlets of news, we find people who are thinking and acting and behaving and believing just like us. And our viewpoint gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then you throw people into a church, and the person that's sitting next to you may not agree. The person in the same pew as you, singing the same hymns, praising the same God, may not agree. But the beautiful thing that we are called to do as the church, the only thing that helps us to grow, is to decide that we are citizens of a different kingdom. You see, America, we are citizens, we are Americans, but as Christians, we are called to live for a bigger kingdom. That is the kingdom of God. And over again, we are told in Holy Scriptures that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is for everyone who chooses to follow Jesus and the way. I believe that it is in church where we encounter some of our hardest things. I had at seminary when a bunch of people came. Now, granted, we were all there for the same reason. We were from across the country and across the world, and we came to study, to be ordained as clergy in this, the Episcopal Church, and in the Anglican Church in other parts of the world. And I remember that it was in that setting that our dean and president said, it's at the lunch table where we encounter others we may not never encounter. It's at the worship service where we're sitting next to and praising the same God, and immediately we might exit and totally disagree about some social issue or some political issue. But that, my friends, he says, is where the rough edges are worn down. You see, it's in proximity of other people that we may or may not choose to be with that our rough edges are worn down. And I would argue that the church is one of the last places that still creates such an environment. It's one of the last places where you walk through the door all for one reason, and that is to worship God and celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of a man named Jesus Christ. And God says that it is that one thing, Jesus says, it is that one thing that should overcome all other divisions. And it is that one thing that I say that we are called to share with other people. That this is a space where we are one, yet we are many and different. There are very few places like that left in the world. And I believe that that's why these studies continue to show that when people come together to worship God, whether in a church or a synagogue or a mosque, that their lives are happier, that their lives are more fulfilling, that there is something that reminds us in this space that there is more than what the world tells us, that there's a purpose that exists that the world cannot provide, that there's a reason for our very being, and that under that umbrella of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all belong. See, one thing that churches have that many organizations don't, or that many organizations seem to be doing better than churches in so many ways, is that sense of belonging. Wanting to belong is the deepest desire of all human beings. A sense of belonging. And so I ask, as we gather here together, and again, I think I mentioned last week or the week before, I don't know why you're here. I'm grateful you're here. I know why I am here. To worship God, to celebrate the gifts that God has shown in the life and the world throughout this week, to get ready for the week ahead, to cleanse my heart and to cleanse my spirit, and to join with all of you in that process as we step out into the world again, to be reminded of who I am and why I am and what my purpose is here on earth. For whatever reason you're here, you're here. And there's something about this process that changes you. What would it look like if we could share that with others? To remind others and invite others. Clearly, there's something about what we do that matters. Studies show it. You came out on this finely beautiful morning. Although it is supposed to get in the 90s again later, just so you know. But we're here together because of one thing. There's something about this life of Jesus Christ that has touched us and changed us enough so that we'll get up, on a Sunday morning and we'll get dressed and we'll come down here and we'll sit with people we may or may not know, with people we may or may not agree or disagree with on every other issue out there in the world, to say one thing: praise God, the Lord, the Almighty. Let us all that is in him be in me, so that I may take that into the world. Praise God, the Lord, the Almighty. Let all that is in him be in me. We're called to rub off those rough edges, and we're never too young or too old to start that process. Although as someone, and okay, you can laugh, as someone in their middle ages now, 45, I know it's not old. My little rough edges are getting pointier and pointier. And it's because of my relationship with all of you that they continue to be smoothed away. So as we think about Jesus, and he's giving just very clear rules. Okay, if somebody disagrees with you, this is how I would like you to handle it. We could go on and on in details about what it means and all these kinds of things, but clearly it was important enough for Jesus, for it to be in the Gospels, for he to say, look, this is how we're going to behave like human beings. I love to listen to podcasts. Two of the podcasts that I have on my reel, and believe it or not, one is called How to Be a Better Human. How to Be a Better Human, and it's a series of TED Talks. I don't know if you're familiar with TED Talks, but it's sort of their stuff that they put together. And the other one is called 10% Happier. And the interesting thing about both of those is they're not religious. And actually, the guy who runs the 10% Happier, he very much is like, he gets scared when people start talking about religion, though he does invite people on his show. But people are listening to these podcasts around the world, and Jesus today is actually saying, here's how to be a better human. Here's how to be 10% happier. We have the guidebook, my friends, in the words of Jesus Christ. All we need to do is to listen, to hear, to read, to gather together, and continue to praise God. Amen.